It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
We are back with episode 7, season 3 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. And we have Jeff Tuttle with us today, Tyler.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
hi,
with, King with some new ink.
Yes.
Looks very good, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
A little disappointed in the Razorbacks Saturday night.
Yo, I just wonder
I can't erase this.
How many times you're going to regret that tattoo?
Never. I will never regret it.
More popular than tattoos right now is tattoo removal.
That's right.
Yeah.
Greg Revels, as they say in the newscasting business, has the night off.
Yes, yes, he does.
He is on the bench.
Yes.
At the beach.
He's on the beach. Like, at the bench.
Well, he's on the bench today.
Vacation? Too. Is sixth vacation this summer, I think?
Man, it's good to be the king.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Ask LeBron.
The number of focus for this episode is 51.
Yes.
And there is a bunch more than you would ever dream of. Of course, first is Dick Butkus. I mean, maybe the best linebacker of all times. He's definitely in the top five, depending whether you put him ahead or behind Jack Lambert.
I was going to say, and this doesn't even have anything to do with numbers, but I was going to say he's definitely in the top two meanest. And Jack Lambert would have been right
the
there.
Other one. I probably told this story before. They asked me and Joe Green, why'd they call you mean? He goes, I don't know. Jack Lambert's the meanest guy I know.
Yeah. So,
Randy Johnson. Ichiro, 51. Trevor Hoffman. Brian Cox, another mean linebacker. he had an edge to him. New York Yankee outfielder Bernie Williams. Sam Mills, another really good linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. The Saints had a run on linebackers there for a while where they were really good on that second line. Willie McGee. That one kind of surprised me a little bit. Mm. Ken Norton Jr. And then James Ferrier, linebacker for the Steelers and the Jets. And this one, probably a better football player than commentator, but Randy Cross was number 51. So we had a bunch this week.
Awesome.
No Razorbacks that we can think of. No. I'm sure somebody knows one. Somebody's got a family member going on, probably Cody.
Cody will be informing us of the 51 that we missed.
You mentioned Ichiro, or however people like to say it. Interesting fact about him that I've always found interesting. That's what was on his uniform. He's the only baseball player I know that had his first name on his uniform.
Yeah.
Because Suzuki was his last name.
Yeah.
And
maybe they wouldn't give him any money to advertise for
maybe
him.
Not. Maybe he should have went with Yamaha.
Changed his name to Honda.
Yeah. Lots of number 51s.
Absolutely.
I see Marjanovic from the Rockets.
He's there you go.
Tall guy. That tall guy.
That's the tall guy. See,
yeah, the tall guy from the Houston Rockets.
I think that's what his wife calls him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know. Go ask the tall guy.
Nobody's ever said that when I was around.
No me neither.
No. Before we talk about Nashville, I wanted to mention, whether you need a hardworking truck, a family SUV, or something built for adventure, York Gary Autoplex has you covered with Chevrolet, GMC, Dodge, Ram, Jeep, and Chrysler all under one roof. You'll find the right fit for your lifestyle. For over 60 years, Scrapper fans have counted on York Gary to go the extra mile, and they're still doing it today. York Gary Autoplex, your home for the ride that fits your life.
Yep, big fans down there.
Yeah.
And Scrappers, man, played their hearts out this week. Depending on whose poll you read or whose blog you're on or podcast or whatever, the Darnell Sand Lizards are the number one team in 4A, or Arkadelphia is the number one team in 4A.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, Coach Cheshire will be able to let us know what he thinks about that, because they played Darnell Friday night and they play Arkadelphia in 2 weeks. Scrappers lose a heartbreaker to the Sand Lizards, and they go to 3-0. And a game where Nashville come out with 489 total yards, almost 500 total yards. The Sand Lizards had like 227.
Wow.
But sometimes when you watch a football game, a team just moves 20 to 20 and 20 to 20, like they're cutting through butter, and then something happens – either a mistake on their part or a big play by the other team, and they just can't get in the end zone, Jeff, and it just happens from time to time.
Yeah, and I think they had I wouldn't say I read somewhere they got down to like their third quarterback, and he got hurt. They ended up running out of the Wildcat, I believe.
They did for a while.
They
ran
out of quarterbacks. I mean, I will point out, it was the mascot matchup of the week, Scrappers and Sand Lizards. Yeah. I don't know of any others.
Yeah, two great mascots. Absolutely.
I just tell that football math never works out.
Yeah. You know? Well, and a lot of – and I, you know, this is nothing to be ashamed of for sure, but I know Brad Cheshire pretty good. And he's not a moral victories guy. He really feels like they should have won this game. But, man, this really sets them up for a tough conference schedule, mm-hmm. one of the toughest conferences in 4A. And it kind of gets them ready for that. Jacoby Hobson, 25 carries, 213 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Tucker Dixon, 31 carries, 163 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So Nashville able to move the ball up and down the field, just not able to get in the end zone enough. Talk to Coach Cheshire about that this week.
Coach Brad Cheshire of the Nashville Scrappers. And Coach, I'm telling you, you guys played really, really well at Darnell. Came out on the short end, a break here or there. Game could have definitely went the other way.
Proud of our kids for the way they fought. You know, 2.5-hour drive to Darnell against number one team in the state in 4A. Obviously, you don't really know what to expect, but I thought our kids handled every part of that trip the right way. And it started with a good week of practice, but you know, Darnell has a very good football team. A lot of credit to those guys, and you know, Coach Vega does just an outstanding job with that group. And you know, they've got a really good group of seniors this year, led by his son at quarterback, who we knew was a stud. But a very good football team. You can't take anything away from them. You know, they're going to continue to win a whole lot of games for the rest of the conference play, the regular season. But you know, we got down early, 14-0. You know, and didn't play real well for the first two drives. And we had an opportunity just to give in and quit, you know, and buy into the narrative of, you know, this is the number one team, and we're not very good, so let's just give in. But our kids didn't do that, and I was extremely proud of the way we handled that adversity and the way that we reacted and responded to that adversity. And, you know, ended up playing extremely hard for the first half and went into halftime down 14-6. Then you look up, and in the fourth quarter, it's tied 14-14. So we did a lot of good things, but we didn't do enough to win. And, you know, we ended up giving up two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, one on a trick play, a speed option pass off of it, and they got us there. And then a little reverse play in the fourth quarter got us as well. So, but, you know, we turned the ball over three times. That killed us. But, I mean, when you look at the most important part to look at Friday night was the scoreboard, and it showed that the Scrappers lost by 2 points.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were a lot of positives. I mean, we had 435 yards of total offense. 489 total offense, and they had 216. I mean, you know,
wow.
you can look at the stat sheet and go, man, we beat them everywhere. But at the end of the day, it comes down to that scoreboard, and we didn't do enough to win. And so obviously that's frustrating. But there's a lot of positives that we can take from that game going into our bye week as we get ready to open conference play versus a very good Arkadelphia team. So I look forward to seeing our kids react and respond coming off of this loss versus Darnell.
Well, we got to listen to the post game coming back from our game, Bunch and Mark, and it sounded like you guys played really well. I know you're not a moral victories guy, but you got to be proud. And you get the bye week, and then you get Arkadelphia. I hear the Georgia Bulldogs are looking for a game week four, so maybe y'all can do something there.
Yeah, man,
that's a tough gauntlet.
No doubt. I mean, it's tough football teams, but we're a tough football team too. And, you know, that's one thing that You know, you made the comment about moral victories. No, this isn't a moral victory for me because I know what we can be. And I know, and I think our kids understand what we can be and kind of the direction we're headed. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get to practice this week and excited to continue to grow as a team because I know what this team can be. And I'm not saying we're going to go win every game from here on out. That's not what I'm saying. But if our kids continue to grow the way that they are, continue to work the way that they have been, they're going to give themselves a chance to compete and win every ball game. So we're just going to continue to get better and see where this thing goes, you know, see where we are at the end of this thing.
Well, you played a good non-conference schedule, Coach, and not only is it a good non-conference schedule to get you ready for maybe the best 4A conference in the state, but those teams are diverse. They do things differently and things that you'll see throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it was good to be able to see some tough competition in the non-conference because I think ultimately that is what's going to help us moving forward, grow as a team. Now, obviously, some teams in our conference, you know, they could say the same thing. I mean, Arkadelphia has played, I guess, 3 5A teams, you know, and has done really well. And that has really helped them grow as a team. And there's other teams in our conference that have faced tough competition. So, but there's no doubt. I mean, as we enter conference play, you know, we've got to be fully prepared every single week, and there's not a week that we can just take off. So, but we've got to continue to focus on who we are and get better at doing what we do. And, you know, that's something that we have preached and spent a lot of time on since the Magnolia game is focusing on who we are, getting better at what we do very well. And that's something that we've got to continue to do, you know, during this bye week as we get ready to go next week for conference play.
Well, Coach, I always enjoy talking to you, and you're always gracious with your time, and we really appreciate it. Have a great bye week.
Well, I appreciate it, Tony, and, you know, I've talked to Greg the last 3 weeks, I guess, hadn't had an opportunity to talk to you, but I tell him every time we talk, and I'm going to tell you the same thing, thank you for what y'all are doing for our local schools and allowing us to promote our kids and our school district, so thanks a lot. And I appreciate the time you put into it.
Thank you, sir, and you have a great day.
Yes, sir.
Big thanks to Coach Cheshire for talking to us every single week. And Hometown Poultry Supply is now open in Nashville, right next door to McDonald's at 1516 South 4th Street. They're your new poultry supply and equipment dealer serving all of Southwest Arkansas and beyond. Turnkey construction, 24/7 service and repair. Top brands like Big Dutchman, Roxel, Munters, and more at Hometown Poultry Supply. They take care of you better than they take care of themselves. Come see them today.
Mena Bearcats, of the 8 teams we cover, the only undefeated team, Tyler, as they go to 3-0 with a 29-19 victory over Stegler, Oklahoma. And probably the toughest game that Mena has played till this point. You know, it's definitely the closest game. And that was intentional. They want to get ready for conference. That's what it's all about right now. Ryder House, though, he's had a great season. 3 touchdowns and 8 tackles. Hunter McClain, he had 100 yards on the ground. Trip Hensley, their two-way quarterback, a defensive back quarterback, had a passing TD and a rushing TD. And I got to tell you, he's not going to get mentioned a lot because we don't get to mention defensive players all the time. But Tucker Strickland is a full-grown man. when we got to watch them play the Leopards and Mena, I looked at Jay or Jacob one, and I said, that kid's going to be a problem for somebody. And he's been a problem the first 3 games. But Mena off to a great start. I got to talk to Philip Fields, our friend, about the Bearcats. You know, they had a great season last year. They went 10-2. I don't see any reason why they can't win 10 games again this year. Yeah. They may not like me saying that, but I'll tell you what, they look good. And they, like everyone else, yes, including Jeff, is off this week.
I bet they like you saying that. Anybody wants to hear somebody say they can win 10 games.
Yeah, for
really?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, then why don't you say it about the Steelers?
Aaron Rodgers.
They're just mean this year. They're mean. You know, we told Stegler be ready for him.
Well, I'm telling you, Stegler.
Yeah, they were, though.
Mena is off this week. They'll work on Mena this week, and they play the Pottsville Apaches, who they're 2-1 and no pushover September 26th. We got to catch up with Coach Bentley.
Right now, Coach, the 3-0 undefeated Mena Bearcats. We cover eight teams, and you are the sole team that's 3-0. Got a big win out in the mother country in Oklahoma Friday night, 29-19 over Stegler, Oklahoma. Tell us a little bit about the game.
Yeah, it was a great game. You know, I think that's a game that can help us win going forward. I think we got put in a lot of situations that and playing a good team, the same type of team that we can see in conference as well, too, that again, can help us win games in conference and get us prepared for what it is. And that's why we scheduled it. You know, we knew Stegler had a good football program and kind of had a tough nose, you know, group of guys, and their coaching staff does a great job. So, you know, we were pretty sloppy throughout the night. Definitely not as disciplined as we need to be going forward to do what we want to do, but overcame a lot of adversity too. So I was proud of that. And, you know, we kind of faltered out early. We got behind early, and then, you know, we're able to maintain it and close out the clock at the end of the night. So I was proud of our kids.
I did notice on social media that Ryder House had three touchdowns. Who else was standout for the Bearcats on offense?
Yeah, Ryder was awesome. I mean, he had the three touchdowns, and I think he had eight tackles and made some big hits. Hunter McLaren and Chance Hughes both had big nights running the ball. I think Hunter had 100 yards. They really just were finding their run lanes and doing good. Trip Hensley had two touchdowns. He kind of had a big touchdown at the end to kind of give us that comfortable lead, and then threw another one to Ryder. So, you know, several guys. Tucker Strickland's another senior that kind of an unsung hero type guy, plays defensive end for us, causing a lot of havoc back there. And then, you know, I thought Max Rocha, Grayson Farringer, Aiden Anderson, those guys on the line played well too. Cause we rushed the ball about 40 times, and, you know, we want a little bit more balance than that, but we're also a team that, you know, can be like that. You know, we're going to rush the ball that many times. We're going to try to throw it, you know, whatever, but we're able to rush the ball, control the clock, and then, you know, do what we need to do from there.
Well, you know, I remember Tucker Strickland from the game with the Leopards, and I remember I either commented to Jay, or I thought to myself, this guy's going to be a problem.
So. Yeah, he is. He just plays with a motor and gets in people's backfields and cause havoc. And so, you know, and then again, our linebackers are all four seniors. So like Guy Sanderson, Jimmy Glenn, those two guys did a great job as well too. Just getting back there. We gave up a couple big plays that kind of hurt us and put us behind. But overall in the night, we did pretty well.
Well, I know it's a bye week this week, and then it's the Pottsville Apaches. They're 2-1 on the year. How much of this coming week will be spent on Mena, and how much will be spent on Pottsville?
Yeah, so what we do is we'll spend that first part of the week, kind of focusing on us, kind of looking back and reviewing our non-conference of like, hey, what do we need to fix going into conference? And then towards the end of the week, we'll shift our gears towards Pottsville. Of course, we've already kind of been prepping for them as coaches, but as far as our team and our kids, we'll start doing our install stuff probably around Thursday. And then, you know, but the first part of the week's all about us. It's you know, identifying what we got to do to get better to go compete in conference.
Pottsville, another one of those teams like you was talking about with Stegler, hard-nosed, tough, and they have that reputation.
Yeah, they do. And again, you know, just kind of repeating what I said earlier, the reason we scheduled Stegler is because we feel like they're a pretty good representation of the teams we see in our conference. But yeah, Pottsville's a great team. You know, Coach Russ has been there for forever and done a great job and always puts them in position to win. And again, you got to be disciplined. You got to be structured to get it done. I think, you know, we're two pretty similar teams, and I'm glad we get to play them at home in front of our crowd. And it'll be a great environment.
Well, Coach, you're always gracious with your time. We really appreciate it. And enjoy the bye week as much as a coach can enjoy a bye week.
I'm going to. We're all, you know, kind of tired, you know, recharge the batteries a little bit as we get into hopefully playing for several more weeks going forward. For sure.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Take care.
UA Cossetot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. Visit cccua.edu today to find out everything you need about UA Cossetot, including how to apply and enroll, all of their programs of study, financial information like how to pay for college, and all of the scholarship opportunities for our community. You can even learn about their technical programs like automotive and diesel service technology, and so much more. UA Cossetide has such a wide array of programs available to you, there's no reason to wait. This doesn't just apply to high school graduates either. If you're still in high school, visit cccua.edu and learn about UA Cossetide's high school programs. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors are able to take up to 15 credit hours for free per semester through the Access to Acceleration Scholarship Program. No extra paperwork is required by the student for this scholarship, as the High School Programs Department ensures their information is submitted to state institutions for reimbursement. Medical professions, industrial technology, welding technology, and so much more. Ready to start when you are. Visit cccua.edu today and see what UA Cossetot can offer you. UA Cossetot. If you start here, you can go anywhere.
Let's talk about those Outlaws. Dirks scored more points than anybody we covered this week. They scored 61.
Whoa.
Against Parker's Chapel, beating them 61 to 24. And, Jeff, it was a big night to be an Outlaw.
Homecoming night in the holler. Hey, I'll mention, and I'll try to get this in again at some point, we had a pregame tailgate. T-Mobile presented a check for $5,000 to the Outlaws, and looking to win a contest and renovate the stadium, and that's a big start. They're hoping to make the top 25. If they do, they'll get a $25,000 check.
Wow.
And then be in the running for $1 million. And remind me before we go off there, and I'll tell everybody how they can help them do that. But back to the ball game.
I'm going
to
tell you one thing about the community of Derrick's. They get behind their team. I'm not sure there's another community their size that gets behind their team more than the Outlaw fans do.
Absolutely. Hey, kickoff was at 7 o'clock. I left work early, the pregame tailgate, and, they had tents set up around the track. Some of the banks were cooking. It started at 4:30. I got there about 5 or a little after and had trouble finding a place to park.
Wow.
2 hours before.
After all that eating, I'm wondering how you found the press box.
Trust me, there's an air conditioner running. I can find it.
You found it.
But back to the ball game, we've mentioned, the homecoming and how coaches don't like it. And the Outlaws, they started off a little slow. After one quarter of play, they were down 16-12, and it looked like failed two-point conversions were going to be costly. But 16-12 after one, and then they led 42-24 at halftime. So they found a gear, and they got there.
66 points between the two teams in one half.
Yeah.
Wow.
They got there and started pouring it on after that. A big night for several Outlaws. Peyton Beckman, the last 2 weeks, you can see him maturing as a quarterback and leading the team as a senior captain. And he had another good night, passing for, I had this ready a minute ago, and now I'm looking.
That's why we have you on.
That's right. 217 total yards passing, 4 touchdown passes. All of those yards passing is not going to be him. Colton Gadberry also on a trick play threw a touchdown pass.
A name we have talked about before.
Yeah.
So, good games by them. On the receiving end of those, you had McLean Smith with 103 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns. Ben Ernest, 4 catches for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ben Ernest also had a fumble recovery return for a touchdown, as did McLean Smith. Fumble recovery. We had two scoops.
That's
and
how
scores.
You get to 61.
Two scoops and scores. And I asked Coach Ernest after the game, I said, have you ever seen two in a game? And he said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, and got the clock running in the second half. And or we might have scored more than 61. On the defensive side, let me get back to the offense real quick. Drake Thatcher had 85 yards rushing on 9 attempts for 2 touchdowns. So a big game by him running the ball. Most of the damage done through the air, though. On the defensive side, Bailey had 5 tackles. Leading tackler for the Outlaws, though, is going to be Mason Smith. Senior had 12 tackles. And 12 tackles by anybody is a good game. And he's playing on the defensive line. So he's in the backfield all night.
Wow.
So a big win. As you said, final score 61-24. Outlaws will have a week off, as we've said. Most teams around do, except for Ashdown.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about some of those teams using it to prepare for the next game. Outlaws are going to use it to try to get healthy. Rhett Simmons left the game with an injury. You know, he handles offensive, defensive line duties and kicking duties for the Outlaws. And Mason Smith re-aggravated a knee injury that he missed all year last year because of the knee. So we're hoping for the best for him. So the Outlaws have some rest to do. They'll work on everything, but...
Yeah,
they have the bye week, as everyone else does. And then it's Lafayette County, who, you know, they present some problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get our scouting report from you.
Okay. we can talk about that. But we did get to catch up with Coach Paul Ernest and get to talk to him.
Coach Paul Ernest of the Dierks Outlaws, and Outlaws had a big win Friday night, 61-24 over Parker's Chapel. Coach, I got to assume you got to be pleased.
Well, you know, I'm pleased with the win. I didn't think that we played particularly well, especially on the defensive side of the football. We still kind of just reach and grab. Kind of the nature of the game and where they've kind of made some rules go makes it a little bit more difficult on Friday night. I think it's kind of a pandemic you're seeing across football from all levels, just, you know, being very cautious about where you place your head. Being very cautious about, you know, not getting there a little bit late, things like that. This kind of turned tackling into something that's not what most of us my age are used to seeing.
Right. Well, and do you think that changes, and everybody here is a human being, so nobody's perfect, but do you think that also changes from officiating crew to officiating crew?
Oh, it absolutely does. You know, from high school baffles me a little bit. You know, I did some research on it at one point, and it was somewhere around 60% of all targeting calls across college football are determined after replay that it's not targeting. So over half of them are wrong.
Right.
And we have targeting in high school with no replay. So those two things don't, you know, and they carry an ejection. And those two things to me don't equal up because – you know, let's be honest, college football coaches are better than high school football coaches.
Yes.
College football players are better than high school football players. So it stands to reason that college officials are better than high school officials, and they get it wrong 60% of the time. So, you know, I don't like that, but it's definitely something that we talk about from a blocking standpoint on, you know, which blocks you have to lead with your hands and not a shoulder. Which blocks you can even make and not make. And I think it just carries over to the physicality of the game, makes tackling a little bit sloppy. And but we get to hear about it every Friday night, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, maybe with all the video, even the small schools have video and usually two outlets video in the game. You would think that you could send the film somewhere and maybe get some of that overturned by somebody somewhere. But you're exactly right. There's not a lot of recourse in high school sports.
No, not at all. And there is a way to appeal an ejection. I've not ever had to do it with a targeting call. I did have to do it last year for a kid that got ejected for getting thrown on the ground and punched, and they just had it backwards. And I mean, it was a pretty. I could see where they could think it was the offended kid, but you know, video replay clearly showed that he didn't do anything at all and get thrown on the ground and punched.
Right. Well, Coach, it looked like offensively, Peyton Beckman, 217 yards, I think 5 TDs. Drake Thatcher, 85 yards on the ground, a couple of TDs. Mason Smith on defense, 12 tackles and a pick. It sounded like that you all played really well Friday night and go into the bye in a good mindset.
Right, yeah, and – you know, Peyton Beckman, he once again played pretty well. You know, the structure of defense kind of dictates what we're going to try to do. We usually go into it with a couple different game plans, one for, you know, Beckman and then one for Smith. And last two games we hadn't had to go to Smith, and Beckman's done a good job of distributing the football, getting other people involved. And then, you know, Drake Thatcher is undersized. He's got pretty good speed for small school, high school football. And he gets a little bit anxious. He's a little bit eager at times, and he'd get out in front of his blocks. But he's going to have a heck of a season, I think. And he's just a junior, so we're looking forward to him coming back. Mason Smith, I don't know that there's enough time in a show for me to talk about that kid, and it has nothing to do with football. The character of that kid, it just translates over onto the football field. You know, I asked his parents if I could say this because I think it's worth mentioning, but he tore his ACL for the second time in our scrimmage game this year, and he is playing basically with nothing on his knee other than the neoprene brace he puts on, the tape we tape it up with, and the ACL brace that he had previously. And his parents and him and his family have been so supportive of him getting this senior year in, and leads a Bible study for our kids through the week. It's just a phenomenal kid.
Well, you know, he sounds like one of those kids that you think of the old Indiana Jones movie where the guy reaches in and pulls out somebody's heart. You pull that heart out and put it in somebody bigger, and you'd have two good ball players. But, man, sounds like a phenomenal young man.
He's unbelievable, and it's just good to see him have some success on the field with what he's playing through.
That's awesome. Coach, how will the Outlaws handle the bye week? Will they work on the Outlaws? How will that go?
Yeah, well, you know, in our bye week, what we generally do is we assess our injuries. And then, you know, I was doing an analysis of what's working and not working, what I'm calling and not calling, so we can eliminate some stuff from our call sheet going into the conference season, and, you know, better utilize our practice time where we're not working on something that we're not actually calling in a game. You know, a lot of times we go into it with this thought that, you know, this play, I'm guilty of it as much as anybody, but, you know, I really like this play, and it's not working right now. And what you end up doing sometimes as a coach is you end up, you know, deliberately putting more time into that play, and it's still not working. And while you're doing that, you're taking away from the stuff that's working, and you end up becoming average at something you should be getting really great at, and then never becoming average at, you know, your headstrong kind of, I'm going to make this play work play. So that's where we start as a coaching staff. And then we move into just cleaning up the techniques of those things that we're going to keep. And then we'll shift our focus to our next opponent, which is Lafayette County, moving into next week.
Well, you know, Coach, that's very interesting. That one of the components about scouting that a lot of people, I don't think, realize is self-scouting and your tendencies and things that other teams could pick up on if you're not careful. So that is very interesting.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty big on the offensive side of self-scouting. Now, Coach Castleman on the defensive side, he does it every week. I do it in games of three. Just because we're required to exchange our last two films with our opponent. So I want to make sure that I'm definitely aware of our last three games and where our tendencies are, what they're going to try to defend, and put that to the rules that we get from the scout film, and, you know, just see where maybe there's a matchup advantage in our favor. And, you know, in this day and age with huddle and quick cut and everything else, live stream, you really just have to go into it assuming that they have every film that you have in the last 10 years, pretty much. And, you know, you it's too much for you to watch. So you kind of go, okay, well, I think they're a staff that's going to definitely watch the last three games. So that's what we do.
Well, Coach, you've been very generous with your time. We appreciate you, and good luck for the Outlaws the rest of the way.
Well, I appreciate it very much, Tony. And as always, love what you do for our kids and highlighting them. And go Outlaws.
Go Outlaws.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic here to assist you in meeting all of your veterinary needs in Southwest Arkansas. Think of them as your other family doctor. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West in DeQueen. You can give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets. To schedule your appointment today, and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, you can call them at 870-898-5181 and join the rest of the community that believes in Martin Veterinary Services. Just look at their reviews. 5 stars across the board. You can trust no one better to take care of your furry one's needs, whether big or small. Routine checkups, spay and neutering, medications, and so much more. Place your trust in Martin Veterinary Services and you won't be disappointed. They're huge pillars of the community as well, sponsoring local sports, community events, and fundraisers, so much more. Southwest Arkansas thanks to Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Services for the excellent care they provide. Martin Veterinary Services, proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
Let's talk about the Eagles of Cossetot. big week for them, a huge week for them. I talked to Coach Barrett, maybe the biggest week. You know, they've had a lot of firsts and a lot of big weeks, but this week they traveled to Waldron last night and beat Waldron's B team 19-16. That's huge for this program. Yeah. to go on the road and beat a 4A school, even if it's their B team or their JV, absolutely huge. And now later this week they get under the Friday Night Lights and they play the Lafayette County Cougars down there in Lafayette County. He was fired up to talk to him. I always enjoy talking to Dakota about football, about the Bible, about Greenwood, all of it. So
yeah, the passion and excitement for the new
awesome. It just oozes out of him. It's his enthusiasm's infectious.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I was going to say too. Anytime you're trying to build a program and what they're in their third year now. Yeah. And to get that win over,
yeah,
like you say, it's a JV, but you're playing a varsity schedule for you. I mean, that's big.
It is big.
Really, that first round of coach interviews, we got Dakota Barrett was like the first one in our first episode.
I think he was the first coach interview we did.
Yeah. And it was like crazy inspiring. Made us feel like, oh, this is going to be a great show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're wondering about the future of Causatot, I get to talk to Coach Barrett a little bit about that in this interview that's upcoming.
I'm with Coach Dakota Barrett of the Causatot River Eagles. And, Coach, a lot of firsts, a lot of big things that's happened with the Eagle program over the last couple of years. But this is a pretty big week in itself.
Yeah, I tell you, we're fixing to have our work cut out for us this week. We go tomorrow night for our senior high is going to play Waldron's JV down over there at Waldron at 6 o'clock. Know that I think we can go compete tomorrow night. I think that'll be a big one for our program. Coach Milholland over there set this up for us, and I'm sure thankful for him. We got everybody healthy in senior high. Finally got everybody back. This will be our first game we play with everybody. And looking forward to that. Had a really good week of practice. Then we go Tuesday night, junior high game over at Mount Ida, and then turn around and play Friday night, a regular Friday night game at Lafayette County, and certainly got our work cut out for us there. But that's really who we've been preparing for all week, and just getting ready to rock and roll for the week. Going to be a long one.
Well, you know, I got to see Lafayette County firsthand on Friday night. They do have a little bit of size, and they've got a guy with a big wiggle factor in the backfield. But I feel like you guys can go down there and hold your own.
Yeah, hey, I tell you, they are big. They're fast. They're coached really well. One thing we're really hoping and we've been working on all week is I tell our kids all the time, you know, we want to be the more disciplined team, which is certainly hard to do with a first-year program. But, you know, I keep telling them if we want to get where we want to go, discipline is who we are, and it's what we got to be. So we've really hounded on that. We've worked a lot on snap counts this week and just trying to get ready to go down there and, you know, hopefully surprise some people.
Well, you know, that's one thing. That's an interesting thing I've thought about with a new football program and with several kids who not played football their whole life. How has penalties been a problem, or have they been pretty good?
So, you know, one thing we started with from the beginning is repetition of game style play. And that's something that's different from, you know, if we were at a normal place right now that's had football, we would be, you know, we're in drills very little, you know, maybe pregame you're running through team stuff. It's just different in that aspect. So offsides, especially, you know, we jump a little bit on defense. We get anxious, and that's something that we've really worked on. But, you know, I still got kids that come to me that get called for a horse collar and run by me and say, I've never heard of that. What did I do wrong?
Right.
You know, on offense, because, hey, I was sitting down holding him, but I had him in front. Why is that a hold? So things like that are kind of interesting to hear sometimes. And you know, realize, well, I didn't cover that. And so I think starting from ground zero, you leave some stuff out sometimes. So to answer your question, going a roundabout way there, penalties have been a problem for us. Not overwhelmingly, not the ones you would think. We had a kid. I'll tell the story real quick for you. We had a That's kid, okay. The buzzer rings at halftime of the junior high game at Waldron. We run the belly. He breaks it out wide open and free, and the buzzer rings, and the kid stops and starts walking back to the sideline. And thankfully, the white hat comes running and blowing his whistle to keep him from getting hit. And, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world are we doing? As the kid comes to me, I can see it in his eyes that he has no clue why I'm yelling at him. And, you know, in basketball, when the old buzzer rings, that's all she writes. And, so things like that have been an adjustment. And though I don't normally find them funny in the moment, it's something that I think we're going to take for granted a little bit going down the road, starting this thing. Something I'm going to be able to look back and think of those moments. And we've really started from ground zero.
Well, brother, I can just see you being at the birth of this football program, one day being invited to a coach's clinic, and you'll be able to share that story with probably – a little more humor than you found in it the first time.
I tell you, and it's been things like that from day one. And no matter what you think you're teaching, you know, just being around the game. I tell our kids to go home, and a big part of our football program, I tell our kids to go spend their Saturday watching college football.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds goofy to some people, but, you know, our kids grew up playing basketball. They grew up playing baseball. And so they have those little instincts. They have those that little bit of knowledge that you just pick up. Football around these parts is scarce. There ain't many people that's played it, and their moms and dads don't know what's going on. But they're learning, and this is a community that's embracing it. And because of people like y'all, too, it's growing here in our community.
Well, that is awesome. This is one thing I don't know if you know the answer to this question, or you may not want to talk about it right now. I know that you guys are, in a percentage basis, a better way through your season than most clubs are. Do you have any idea as far as working on a schedule for 26, maybe what your designation will be or what your conference will be? Any talks with the AAA or anything like that?
So we have been in talks with AAA. We actually petitioned to go 2A next year. They rejected our petition. Basically, I had the hopes of if we could go 2A, basically treat us like private school since we're a new program.
Right.
Skip date, man. Felt like we did things the right way. Felt like physically, number-wise, and location-wise, we really fit in better 2A for the first cycle. But either here nor there, they didn't go for it. They're going to put us 3A. Our hopes is to go south. It doesn't look like that is going to happen. We are in the North Conference for basketball.
Right.
That would be Charleston, Boonville, and so on up there. A really physical conference. Not to say that the South isn't, but the South has a few more athletes, and I just think physically we fit in a little better in the South. So with all that being said, as of right now, I would say we are going north. And we'll be in a tough conference to start. But, you know, our kids are going to compete. They're going to show up. And we're trying to work on non-conference schedule. And, of course, that's tough, not knowing if we're going to be in Horatio's conference or not.
Right.
So they tell us after the state championship games, the week after, we will know our conferences. And we're all just kind of waiting, holding our breath on that.
All right. Well, brother, it's been my experience that if you can get anybody at Greenwood, if you know anybody up there that can put in a good word for you, you might get somewhere with the AAA. So
you're not the first person I've heard that from. So.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. I always enjoy our talks, and go get them this week.
Hey, I appreciate it, and I'd be crazy not to mention this before I get off here. And man, Joshua 1:9 is what we read at church today, and we went through, and Moses had just passed away, and they God's telling them that he's got a vision for him. I tell my boys the other day, God's got a vision for this football program. We got to hold steady and do our part, and just keep showing up every day. I really appreciate y'all. Y'all are great for our program, and I appreciate it again. Go Eagles.
Go Eagles. Thank you, Coach.
Sir.
All right. Now it's time for my favorite part of the show, and that is the awards section where we give away all of the different players of the game and players of the area and everything. So let's start off with it. DeQueen, man, who is the Shelter Insurance Jeff Woods Agency player of the game?
Captain TFL Kyle Williamson, 9 tackles, a tackle for loss, and a fumble recovery in the win over Lafayette County for the Leopards.
Nice. What is the Ashdown Domtar player of the game?
Riley Williamson, to no surprise to anybody, 275 total yards in the loss to Hope.
Great. Horatio Lyons, Horatio State Bank player of the game.
One of my favorite players, Marvin Martinez, yes. Who was a demon on defense and had 95 yards and a couple of touchdowns on the ground for the Lions.
Great. And the Foreman Gators, Horatio State Bank player of the game.
T.T. Victron Moore.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. 769-2. I love that name.
All right. Nashville Scrappers, Loveless Refrigeration player of the game.
That's going to be Tucker Dixon, 32 carries. That's a day. 162 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Great. How about the Dirks Outlaw player of the game brought to you by shelter insurance agent Todd Moore?
How about Ben Ernest, 4 catches, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then a fumble recovery, a long run for a touchdown.
Yeah. And the Mena Bearcats Union Bank of Mena player of the game.
A name you've heard before, Ryder House with 3 TDs in the win versus Stigler.
Great. And the Costar River Eagles Union Bank of Mena player of the game.
Quarterback Chris Carterby, another name that we've heard quite a bit.
No kidding. All right, let's move on to the offensive player of the area brought to you by the great Toad Thumper Lures.
Going to be Nashville's Jacoby Hobson, 25 carries, 215 yards, and 2 touchdowns for the
wild,
young man.
Wild. And the defensive player of the area brought to you by Horatio State Bank.
Going to be the Outlaws' Mason Smith. He only had 12 tackles and a pick in their win versus Parker's Chapel.
Nice. And the coveted player of the area who's going to get a shirt made by Mud Creek Designs.
Well, Landon Wise was unstoppable Friday night. 13 carries, 180 yards. That's about 14 a carry and 2 touchdowns against the Leopards. Could have been more, but, you know, with the score, and he had a sensational ball game.
Great. And we move on to the DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week. I think this one's already predetermined.
This was a really tough choice for it. Me and Jeff about come to blows, well. But Idabel, Oklahoma visits Ashdown, and awesome. That's our DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week.
That should be a great game.
Yes.
Yeah. At Pilgrims, our vision guides everything we do to be the best and most respected company in our industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for our team members. From education and recreation to healthcare and social services, Pilgrims invests in meaningful community projects that have lasting benefits for our team members and our neighbors. We have provided meaningful investments in projects that will have a lasting impact for generations to come. We are also building the largest free college tuition program in rural America, Better Futures. Pilgrims is providing team members and their child dependents the opportunity to pursue their higher education dreams for associate degrees and trade certificates at community and technical colleges tuition-free. Opportunity awaits. Join our talent community today and visit jobs.pilgrims.com.
Well, brother, do you all have anything else?
I think that's it, man. We're going to bring a special episode coming soon.
I thought that's what today was.
We'll get you on.
That's how we got Tuttle here. We told him it was a special episode.
Yeah. I've got a big debate I want to bring to the show. We're just teasing it right now. I'm not going to say what it is, but you guys get your, you know.
Are we going to get Cody ready here for it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I need somebody to back me up.
Well, he's not going to back you up. He's going to say Bird.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the question.
Yeah.
Whatever is Bird. That's exactly right.
All right. But yeah, obviously, we appreciate all the listeners for this week and all the weeks, of course. And make sure that you go visit our Facebook page and give us a like and a comment on any of our videos. You know, if you like what we're doing, send us a message. Like, follow, all that kind of stuff on the social medias. You can check it out, Spotify. Make sure you subscribe and all that. Go ahead, Jeff.
Back to the Outlaw T-Mobile content.
Yes.
Social media.
Uh-huh.
Go to social media. Do anything Derek's Outlaws. Hashtag 5N5GL. Hashtag sweepstakes. Hashtag Derek's Outlaws 1. And mention T-Mobile.
That's right.
I mean, that helps out everything.
So that's kind of how you...
Yeah, that's how we get the mentions and likes and stuff on Facebook.
I'm so shocked you remembered that. Something fired in your brain.
Yeah, it did.
I'm going to just, trust me, I've said it so many times over the last 2 months. So, and awesome. We appreciate everybody that's taking part in that and helping out.
Yeah. So they just got 5. Now they're looking for 25 and then looking for a million. I love it. Awesome. Well, we also want to thank all of our sponsors as well. Shelter Insurance Agent Jeff Woods, Shelter Insurance Agent Todd Moore, Domtar, Horatio State Bank, Loveless Refrigeration, Union Bank of Mena, Toad Thumper Lures, Mud Creek Designs, of course, DeQueen Motorsports, Martin Veterinary Services, Cossetot, UA Cossetot, of course, and Pilgrims, our title sponsor. So York. We appreciate all them. Yeah, York Gary, of course, and Hometown Poultry Supply. Hopefully I'm not missing any. I don't think I did.
No, I think you did great.
Yeah, we nailed it. There you go.
That's
so,
a young mind.
It's going away. It's not going to last. But yeah, of course, we appreciate the listeners. We appreciate the sponsors. And most of all, like Greg usually says,
we appreciate the young people, man. We wouldn't do it without you guys. And
We would, but it wouldn't be near as interesting.
That's exactly right. Nobody would listen. Yeah. So we're going to see you next week.
See you next week.